Aren't you grateful for that love tonight? His love that covers us. Christ in me is more than enough, more bless you for that, God. In Isaiah 43, it says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I, the Lord, am your God." Can you testify to that tonight? That no matter what you've gone through, He has protected you. He has shielded you. So we're going to proclaim this together, that we're not afraid because He is greater within us. Amen.
Of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promise up that you make. There is one that is too late, so I will not lose heart. Here I will lift my arms and start to sing into the night. My praise will call the sun to rise, declare the battle's won, declare that it is done.
We set our hope on you. We
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
There's a breaking in my Has anybody here ever praised your way out of something? Has anybody here ever spent a moment where you had nothing left, you didn't know what to do, so you just decided to praise? Come on, who's been there before? Who's been there before? You know how powerful praise can be. It's not just a song. It's not just Sunday morning and Sunday night in the altar. It's Tuesday afternoon when things aren't going right at work. It's Thursday night when your teenager hasn't come home yet and it's past curfew. It's Saturday afternoon when your bills are late. There's a breaking. See, when you don't understand what to do, you got to do the thing that doesn't make sense. When nothing makes sense, start doing what doesn't make sense. Praising in the middle of the storm. It doesn't make sense to put aside all the stresses of life to focus on the God who you haven't felt. It doesn't make sense to do that, but when you begin to lift up something bigger than what's lifting you, pushing you down, you begin to see that there is a breaking. This isn't just words, this is reality. Oh, come on. I'd like to be, I can't remember if it was Dennis or if it was Wayne, but we were working in the fellowship hall, looking good out there. And Wayne was, or Dennis, or one of them was saying, I wonder if when we get to heaven, God will just show us snapshots of everything we've missed. Not like missed now, but like, who wouldn't love to see the Bible, like David kill Goliath? I would love to see that for real, right? I was thinking about that. I would love to see the detrimental, putrid, disgusting area that Paul and Silas were in Acts chapter 16. I would like to see how terrible that really was, because it was bad. It wasn't, a lot of us can be in there in relationships with our family, with our friends, in finances, in our spiritual walk with God, all that stuff. We can find ourselves in a very similar place. It might not be a physical prison, but it sure is a prison. And I would love to see exactly how they came up with the idea in the midst of destruction and despair to just begin to praise their God. You see, when you've got nothing left, you've still got something. When you've got nothing left, you've got something big. You've got all that matters. Your praise is a weapon that will set you free if you praise the right thing. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. You know, oftentimes, believers, we think right. We have good thoughts and we have good intentions. But we can tend to begin to praise the wrong thing. We let the things that try to destroy us take our mind. You don't have to be singing hallelujah to praise something. All you have to be doing is giving it your attention. And when that stuff doesn't make sense and it's hurting you and your mind is zeroed in on it, all that's going to happen, it's going to feed your mind saying it's never going to work. You're never going to get out of this. They're never going to get saved. You're never going to get out of this hole. You're going to die young. You're going to lose everything. You're nobody. You're nothing. You're zero. And before you know it, your praise has brought you down to a place that you shouldn't be. Let's start turning our focus on the truth and not the lie. How many times have we praised the lie in church? How many times have we praised the lie in our body, in our minds, in our spirits? This is what I am. I'm bipolar. I'm depressed. I'm broke. I've got nothing. My family's a mess. I have nothing to offer. Well, Paul and Silas were about to die, and they said, there's a breaking in my favor while I praise. There is no disease. There is no anguish, there is no fear, there is no instability that can come close to the stability found as you praise your God. Come on, I want you to lift your hands and begin to declare that your God is bigger, that your God is bigger, that something good is coming your way. Come on, some of you have been lost enough. Some of you have been losing enough, and it's time to win. It's time to be victorious tonight. Hey, there's a breaking. Oh, it's in my favor. It's in my favor tonight. Ooh, there's a shifting. Yeah. It's coming right here. In my direction. Come on, declare that. There's a breaking. Ooh, there's a breaking. Come on, take a minute. Just begin to speak to that negative devil. We talked about it this morning. Sometimes it comes at you, it's just the devil. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to be part of it. You are bigger than it because you are connected to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just take another minute. Just take another minute and just focus on the Lord here tonight. Let's not look ahead. Let's not look around. Let's look up. And let's just really worship Jesus. Oh, what He wants to do with Charleston Church. What He wants to do with your life. What He wants to do with your testimony. Oh, yeah. And it's coming right for me, Jesus. It's coming right for me, Jesus. It's coming right for me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we declare today, on this night, Lord, that we are people of praise. But God, we refuse to praise the circumstances of our life anymore. We don't want to give them the attention that they don't deserve. We are giving our attention, our praise, our affections, our worship to Jesus tonight and forever. And God, I pray when the enemy would try to come in like a flood, we will raise a standard of praise against him, and he will not rise above it, but he will be crushed beneath it. For the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Underneath our feet. And God, I thank you. That's where the devil belongs, and that's where it all belongs. And tonight, we're going to walk out of this place victorious. In Jesus' name, if you want victory, give him a shout of praise tonight. Give him a shout tonight. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Somebody give someone a high five and tell them we got victory tonight. You can have a seat. I want to tell you, when we came home from Canada, I didn't feel quite right, and it was a couple days, and so I went to the doctor because I was just like, what is going on with me? And the devil wanted me, trying to tell me that everything that happened last August, this is about a year later, everything that happened last August wasn't real. You're going to go through the same stuff, because I felt weird. So I was driving in. Anxiety tried to grip me. I said no. I began to praise. I began to pray. I began to speak in the tongues that the Lord had given me. I began to do the same thing. I told the doctor everything. She said, you got to go to the ER to check it out. I was like, whatever. I began to praise. I began to worship. I began to lift up the name of Jesus. I began to give him everything. I sat in that cold waiting room in that room. In Jesus' name, they came in, took my blood, said hallelujah. I began to praise Jesus. I don't even know what I was singing. I was singing something. I was singing something, singing, victory is mine, victory is mine. Anything that could come into my head just to get that out of my heart. And then after about an hour and a half, which is pretty short for an ER visit, that's a miracle in itself. The doctor came in, nice old man. He was like, well, there ain't nothing wrong with you. And I was like, praise God. And I've never felt better. And I want to tell you something. When we allow stuff to get in the way of our praise to the Lord, when we allow things to get in the way of our absolute undying connection with Jesus Christ, immediately the things that you've already defeated will try to come back. They'll try to come back and they'll try to take things, and they don't have any right to you. They don't have any right to you because you are blood bought. They don't have a right to you, but they'll get into your head and start making you feel like they do have a right to you. But when you take Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to fight this battle, and I'm just going to praise, he never loses. He's got an undefeated record, church. He's going to stay that way. Praise God. Tell you what, being up here is kind of a cool thing. I get to see a lot of awesome things. No, tonight, I was watching Kelsey Waite come out of the room and just worship the Lord because he's in the middle of a breakthrough now. I know about it. Some of you might not. Some of you do. Doesn't matter. He's in the middle of a breakthrough right now. And he's fighting for it, and God's doing it for him. Every Sunday morning, I look in the back there, and I don't know if they're here tonight, but I see Bo and Teresa Thomas in the back. And Bo's, you know how Bo is. He's all, hey, guys, how are you? Let's play softball. You know, it's great. I love Bo. He's so great. But you know what? I never used to see him do this, and he would lift his hands up, and he'd begin to worship and pray and wipe the tears away. The Lord is up to something, and if you're not getting on board with it, you're missing the greatest time of your life. Dalton was telling me that he's known this lady for years, the Grammy that came up on the platform that you thought was an aunt. Yes. And she gave her heart to the Lord, and Dalton was blown away. He says, like, that's incredible. Praise the Lord. You know, it was amazing. You got to understand, everybody here has a story where God has helped them triumph. And so if you're struggling tonight, you're sitting with somebody nearby who's been where you are and has overcome where you are. So get close to people who praise a lot, because they'll teach you how to praise. They'll teach you how to win. Amen? That's free tonight. The next holy moment is announcements. And I'm going to tell you them because we got a lot of great stuff coming up. If I can find it, that's the wrong button. This is the right button. There we are. So, thank you all for coming tonight. Just so wound up here, you know. I just can't help myself. If you're new here, thank you so much for coming. I would say that this doesn't happen all the time, but it does. The Lord likes to show up and do great things. And the more we praise, the more we see him. The more we feel him. The more God moves. And so, when you come to this church, you come expecting, and you'll see great things happen in your life too. Amen. Can I get a testify from somebody here tonight? So thank you all for coming. I want to thank everybody online for joining us here at 5:36 on Sunday night. We'd love to hear where you're from, so go ahead and post it. Send us an email. We'd love to connect with you. If you are new here tonight, please fill the connect card in front of you, the connection card, and in just a few minutes, the ushers are going to come by, and they're going to take up an offering. You can feel free to put that connection card in the offering bucket. We would love to get in contact with you this week. Amen? Church, if there's any visitor here, can you please let them know they're welcome? Just give them a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. We got a lot of stuff going on here. This is a cool church to be a part of because you rarely have days where there's nothing going on. And this week is no different. September 11th, this Tuesday at 11 a.m., we have a seniors luncheon. In 7 years, Pastor Ward will be a member, which is cool. We heard that this morning, which is great. Slightly more than 7 years for me. But, you know, we'll just leave that alone. But if you are 55 years old or older, you are more than welcome to come. It will be in the fellowship hall this week. You're going to have a great meal. You always do. It's an incredible time. Please come on out and enjoy yourself there. It doesn't cost you anything except a great time of fellowship with fellow believers. This weekend coming, September 13th and September 14th. On the 13th from 4 to 7 and on the 14th from 9 to 12, we have the yard sale coming up at Safe Place Community Center. Now, Heather and I drove through Bangor the other day, and we saw a bunch of yard sales. And it's like they just took their garage and, you know, just take whatever you want. Here's the junk. 10 cents, 5 cents, whatever, burn it. I don't care. Take it. That is not what this yard sale is like. This yard sale has new stuff, stuff that you will want, that you will use every day, that you'll like, cleaning supplies and all kinds of stuff. Really, really, really cheap, and you want to be a part of it. And bonus, they raise money to feed the hungry in our community. Isn't that amazing? So go on out there on the 13th and 14th, find some stuff, take it. Don't hit anybody if they took it before you. Pray for them that they'll say, I don't need this. And they'll put it there. You're like, hallelujah, I got it. All right? So let's be civil there, okay? Make sure you come on out. September 17th through the 22nd is going to be a great week for us. It's our fall fast. So the 17th to the 22nd, we're having our fall fast. And basically what that we're doing is we're asking the church to partner with us and fast. Fast for the church, fast for what's coming up. Great things happen in your spiritual walk with Jesus when you fast. You become more focused than you've ever had before when you say no to what sustains your body and yes to what sustains your soul and what sustains your spirit. So you can choose to fast every day. You can choose to fast one meal, two meal, whatever you feel like you need to fast. But do something and fast and pray. I heard Pastor say once, make sure you add the prayer to your fast or you'll just be grumpy. And just be like not eating. I mean, you don't want to do that. That's just not right. So you want to fast. And on top of that, on the 23rd, which is on a Sunday, evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth will be with us, which is so amazing. I went to college with him for 1 year and I got to see him when he was in school. Heather and I got to travel with him to his church and we saw him preach there and we knew there was something dynamic about him. Now he travels all over the world, goes into the roughest places in cities in America and brings the gospel and sees thousands of people come to know Christ every week he's there. You don't want to miss. He's got a strong anointing on his life. You will be blessed. Find five people that aren't saved and bring them next Sunday because they will be saved when you leave that service. It is a powerful, powerful Sunday on the 23rd. And if you would like to join us up at Faith Bible College International, he will be there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that week at 7 o'clock. It is going to be amazing. And finally, as the ushers come on down, you guys can come on down. I'm getting dry. I'm about to lose it. I Am Women Conference. Any ladies in the house? That was weak. Any ladies in the house? That was better. Matter of fact, if you're a lady, why don't you stand up? Go ahead, if you're a lady, why don't you stand up? Stand up. I am personally inviting you, not that I will be there, although I may be to play Sky. All the ladies, stand up. That's right. That was worth admission right there. That was great. All you ladies are personally invited to the I Am Woman Conference, which is on September 28th and 29th. Does it cost anything? It's all free, right? It's all free. On Saturday, you'll have a catered Chick-fil-A dinner. Also, Adalys Shuttlesworth, who's Jonathan's wife, is going to be ministering. She is a firecracker full of the Holy Ghost. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be great. Do they need to sign up or anything on C-Church? Go online to cchurch11a.info, cchurch11a.info, and sign up because we definitely want you guys to be a part of this. All right? Sound good? All right, you can sit down. Praise God. All right, Heather, can you give me some offering music? Just play something. Ethan, give me some organ. It's a scientific fact that organ music helps you give. Well, give me one of those runs. There it is. Can't you just feel your wallet come trying to get out of you? What's going on? I'm sorry. This is, we're good. I don't know if I can tell you anything inspiring now about giving, but isn't church fun? It's great. And you heard all the stuff that we do. It doesn't happen because we have a church that's greedy and a church that is like close-fisted. It happens because we have a church that loves to be part of what God's doing. Just like you want to be part of what God's doing in the altar when you pray for people, you're part of what God's doing as you sow your resources into God's kingdom and watch people get saved week after week after week. Unbelievable what God is doing through you. So I want to applaud you tonight because you are a giving church. So I want to encourage you that God is going to bless you for that as well. You can see all the different ways you can give in church. You can go to the office and give by credit card. You can go online, which is what I do. I've set up an online account where I give every week, and you can text as well. So just feel free and know that God is going to bless you abundantly as you give tonight. Father, we thank you so much for all the great things you've done in this church. Lord, how you've given us a praise, how you've given us a worship. God, how you've given us salvation. God, you've poured your spirit out on us. Lord, you've taken care of our needs, and you're in the process, God, of pouring out blessing on your people as they give. So I pray, Jesus, that you will anoint the rest of this meeting, that we'll just enjoy the presence of an almighty God. In Jesus' name, everybody shout a good, strong amen. Amen. Be blessed as you give. Choir, as soon as you've given, come on, make your way on up here, and we will sing.
serve a good God. I just want to encourage you a little bit tonight before we sing this song. It's called Speak the Name. And I want to tell you a little bit about that name. When my husband and I were told by doctors that we couldn't have kids, we spoke the name. When they looked in at that baby's heartbeat and said, it's gone, go home, your baby's dead, we spoke the name. When the devil tried to take me out and I couldn't go home with my baby at the end of that delivery, we spoke the name. And I can tell you, we have a little girl sitting right there because we spoke the name. And I want to tell you tonight, you need provision, speak the name. You need healing, speak the name. If you need to be broken from something, speak the name. Whatever it is that you walked in here tonight, you speak the name tonight and you will leave without it. So be encouraged tonight as we sing this song to speak the name.
The atmosphere is changing, nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one He proclaimed.
Fear us, Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Let's stand to our feet. And let's give Him appropriate praise. I'll let you decide what that is. How, whatever He means to you, let that be the appropriate action to Him. Come on, begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Would you please take a moment? Come on, choir, church family. Let's take a few minutes here and just begin to exalt Him today. Isn't that name powerful? Isn't that name wonderful? Isn't that name life-changing? Isn't that name healing? Isn't that name restoring? Call the name of Jesus. Call the name of Jesus. Come on, worship Him and sing Him. God can heal you. He can set you free tonight. Come on, just call on Him tonight. Thank you, choir. Let them know that you love them so much. They and the worship team. Grab your Bibles while you're standing, if you would, please. And open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It feels good to be in God's presence. So grateful that He is here with us tonight. If you're watching online, you need to be here and join us sometime in person. The presence of God is real strong. And I thank God for that tonight. Are you ready for a week of God working in your life like you've never seen before? Well, both of you are going to enjoy it. You could fix my sound. That'd be great. It sounds terrible. How many of you are ready for God to do a great thing for you this week? Okay. Well, I believe that. And I believe that God is going to use us in a mighty way everywhere we go. And I tell you why, because God can put some words in your mouth that can change somebody's life. I want God to put something in our hearts that comes out of our mouth that doesn't tear people down, but something that'll build people up. How about an amen? I want to be that kind of person. So if you would go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 is where I want to start tonight. And the scripture says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So no gift should separate us from each other, because they all come from the same place. Point to where you think the gifts come from. Right. All the gifts come from heaven through our lives. That's going to be important in just a moment. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There is a benefit to the gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. It's not a spirit of wisdom, it's a word of wisdom. And it's not the whole counsel of wisdom, it's a portion of wisdom, okay? But sometimes just a little bit of wisdom can change everything around, amen? Right? Just like a little leaven. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. How many of you don't know enough? All right, everybody but the teenagers. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Watch this. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. Different kinds, or you might have divers, different kinds of tongues. Kinds, plural, tongues, plural. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Go down to the bottom of the chapter in verse 29, and Paul lists off some ministry offices. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? He's being facetious. No, not everybody is all those things. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I want to talk to you about the vocal gifts of the Spirit, all lumped in as one tonight, and conclude this part of our series on the outpouring and the gifts of the Spirit. And say this with me, if I see something, I'm going to say something. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you see something, say something, and then you can be seated. If you see something, say something, then you can be seated. I won't be long, I don't need to be. We've been in God's presence, and I really want God to do something here kind of unique, special for us and for you here tonight. Prophet all. He is saying, I want these gifts to profit everybody. That word prophet, as I talked to you this morning, is not an office. That word prophet is that when the gifts of the Spirit, these abilities that God gives to us, there is victory, there is prosperity, there is breakthrough that's given. Some of us have exhausted everything that we know how to do and have not experienced victory, breakthrough, or prosperity. I'll tell you the thing that'll work tonight and works every time, the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not for entertainment. The spiritual dynamics are not for crowd building. These are not to sell products. The gifts of the Spirit are to bring benefit to other people. Now, if you just stay tuned with me, I got one point to make, and then I don't think it'll take extended time to do it. The gifts of the Spirit are for the profit of who? All. Who's all? Everyone. So if you want the blessing, decide to be the blessing. There are many blessing receptacles running around churches today, but we need more blessing givers. And the beauty of being a blessing giver, a user of the tools of the gifts of the Spirit, is that not only do other people get healed, you get healed. Whatever other people get, God gives you, and you get, look, when the pipe delivers the water, how many know the pipe never stays dry? And so when we give joy, we get joy. When we give strength, we get strength. When we give ministry, we get ministry. And the reason that some people dry up is they stop ministering. Why are you bored tonight? Because you stopped ministering. Why are your prayers dry? Because you're not praying for anybody else. Why is the Bible uninteresting? Because you're only reading it for your selfish consumption. But how many know God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all well we could ever ask or think if we're doing it for others? You have a lot of people, I need me time. No, you need them time. And if you have them time, God will take care of you. Amen? Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give you just enough to help somebody else? He gives you more. You okay with that? I'm trying to get my eye scroll to work correctly. Oh, now it's anointed. Well, it's in an anointed program. Okay, now let's just see what I can do with it here. So, he says these gifts are in verse 11. He said they're back in verse 11. It says they're for every person. Turn to your neighbor. I can tell I need to work a little bit. Just poke him in the arm. Just poke him in the arm. Just poke. They're for everybody. I want you to see, look, if you look around this crowd tonight, maybe close to 300 people, If you look around, you need to understand everybody that's, God wants everybody saved, but he wants all saved people to have gifts. So how many of you are saved tonight and you're not ashamed of it? Christ died for you publicly, you live for him publicly. You, my friend, have gifts. And it doesn't please God when you don't use them. It does please God when you activate them. Now, we use gifts, and sometimes people will use their gifts by accident. But it's a whole lot better if you can learn to use your gifts intentionally. So let me put it together another step. God has given the gifts to profit everybody. God has given everybody gifts in here to be a profit to anybody. Just trying to get you in one direction on this thing. Every man gets these gifts, and he says there are a few. And if you go back, you'll see that I underlined prophecy, tongues, there it is, thank you. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Really, as I've gone through the gifts, these gifts are not complicated. I think the longer people talk about them, the more confusing they get. But what Paul is saying here, and I've just asked God to speak to me freshly about it, is that we've got miracles of power, healing, miracles, deliverance. We've got miracles of power. We've got miracles of intelligence, intuition, discerning, knowledge, wisdom. But then we have miracles of vocalization, voicing, words. I find it interesting that he mingles these last three with the discerning of spirits to close up this session of teaching, because if we do not have a freedom to minister through our words, then we're going to have a hard time sharing a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning of the spirit, a gift of healing, a gift of miracles. If our voice is silenced, then all of those other gifts are useless. The moment we get quiet, the gifts get absent. We activate the gifts through our words. And he says there's prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is delivering a message from the Lord. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed how simple the scripture is. There are different kinds of tongues. Now, there are tongues that are the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can not speak in tongues and go to heaven. I just don't know everybody that's in church tonight. So I have anybody that comes here knows the Bible. And the Bible says that we are redeemed by the repentance of our sins and the acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice for our lives. I'm telling you this, I know a lot of people who talk in tongues who go to hell. I know it, because there'll be people that will try to show off their gifts before God, and God will say, I don't know you. I was never involved in that foolishness. So I literally think there are Pentecostal churches out there who think Peter's going to stand at the gate and say, okay, now let me hear you speak in tongues first. No, that wasn't very good. You're out of here. It's foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. However, I wouldn't be against God if he said that had to be the way. Because there's so much power locked up in the ability to pray in a language that God has given to you. Now, if God decided to make that a requirement, I would think that was wisdom. But God doesn't do that to us. I'm just telling you tonight, if you refuse the prayer language, the devotional prayer language, you have limited yourself to human weakness. Romans chapter 8 says that in our weakness, we don't know how to pray. What is our weakness? Our humanity. Not our sin, not our sickness, not our failure. Our weakness is our humanity, because our humanity is limited. But if we will admit our weakness is our humanity, the Bible says he will pray in language through us that we will leave the land of limitation and enter a place where there is no limit to what God can do in our lives. If you only pray in English, you're limited to what you can ask. But if you will pray in a heavenly language, there's no limits to what God can do for you. Why tongues? And I preached that this summer. I don't need to revisit all of that. But what does a dog sound like? It took you a little while. What does a cat sound like? Right. All cats sound like that. All dogs sound like something like that. The language identifies the species. And the Bible says that we are, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are now new. We are new creatures. So the only thing that makes sense to show that we are a new creation in Christ is that God give us a new language. Do you see that speaking and praying in tongues ought to be the most prevalent, the most initial evidence that you actually acknowledge the fact that you are not the old person getting better. The old man has died and the new person is now alive. I'm not a better version of the old Matt Ward. I'm a new creation. And so the longer we begin and the more we practice praying in the Holy Ghost, the more we are reminded that we are not that same old person. We are a new person. But this tongues that he's talking about is a variety of tongues. There are the tongues of angels, which are an angelic language. The angels have their own language. There are the tongues that we pray that are of another language. Acts chapter 2. There were men from every nation that were around the day of Pentecost. And because God wanted to speedily get the gospel to the nations, he had 120 people in the upper room and downloaded Rosetta Stone. And they all began to praise God in a language that the visiting people from all over the then world knew. They got saved, and immediately there were thousands of evangelists that went across the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are different kinds of tongues. And then there is the interpretation, not the translation, but the interpretation of the tongues. There are people whom, after they hear a message of tongues given, can understand and can discern, and they pray to interpret what God is saying to the church. Now, I think this is a gift that has got to be sharpened. I think it's a gift that is too easy to duplicate. It is too easy to phony your way through. You cannot duplicate a miracle with emotions. You can't duplicate discerning with feelings and the right song. But it is too easy for people to just duplicate and speak in tongues that they've heard other people speak and give interpretations that everybody else has given. Please. And I'm challenging you because it is so easy to get into a groove. I not here, but I've been to places. I'll go back and preach at them. And the same person will get up and interpret the same and say the same thing. God wants to say something specific. God wants to say something that is detailed. God wants to say something that is helpful. I have preached and preached my guts out and work and feel like no breakthrough. Then somebody at the right time will give a message in tongues and the interpretation. And it's like the whole wall just broke down and the dam got broken and the water got loosed. Do you realize there's power when people experience the ministry of tongues and interpretation? But always remember, prophecy, tongues, interpretation are not for you. They're for the profit of others. You will get blessed, but the purpose is for other people to be ministered to. Now, the reason I'm making that point, and we all get that. I don't need to belabor that point. I've done enough talk about that tonight. Here's the thing I'm concerned about, and I'll wrap it up. The thing I'm concerned about is if there are gifts of the Spirit and they're for the benefit of all the people, and if they are constantly released through the ability of speaking, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation, then doesn't it make sense that the devil would try to corrupt our tongues? That's the whole point. I just one little point. You say, the music was good, though. I mean, at least the music was good tonight. Imagine if the music wasn't. It would be a total waste of some of these spiritual people's nights. A little more gospel television you could have watched somewhere else. But there's a point here, and I want you to get it. The power of life and death are in your tongue. The Bible says bitter and sweet water cannot come out of the same mouth. And if we've not learned to bridle our tongue, then we have stifled the vocal gifts of the Spirit. And if we stifle the vocal gifts of the Spirit, we have put into the closet all the rest of those miraculous giftings. I'm telling you, there are too many sick people around for us to just set aside the miracle-working power of healings and miracles. There are too many people going down a road that need the wisdom of God about their future to just put the wisdom of the future aside. There are too many people being challenged and need information and a word of knowledge that helps them to know that God is with them. There's too many people feeling lonely for us to take the word of knowledge and just set it into the closet and say, well, maybe another generation will get it. But I tell you today, if we will gain control and bridle our tongues and appreciate the power of the words of life that come out of our mouths, I'm telling you, you can stand up and say to somebody who's sick, be healed. You can say to somebody who feels alone, God is with you. You can say to somebody who's unwell, there's a miracle for your life. We've got to learn how to get this out of our mouths. I think it's very appropriate tonight that there's a presence of praise. There's a spirit of worship. And Paul did a great job encouraging and stirring us up tonight. Why? Because if you can open your mouth, God has already opened the heaven, and the lame will walk, and the blind will see, and the bound will be free if we can get it out of our mouths. I had to go to Joshua tonight in my study when I got back to this office this afternoon. And Joshua said in Joshua chapter 6, verse 10, now Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you'll shout. Israel is on the verge of their first great victory. It's called Jericho. And Joshua is the commander, he's the general. And here stand hundreds of thousands, a million Jews. They don't have a gun. They don't have a bomb. They got each other. And there's Jericho with walls so high and so wide you could drive two Cadillacs across. And they've got a military inside. They've got everything. They've got everything. I mean, they've got more weapons than Fortnite. Six of you know what that means. And Joshua, as he looks at that, has a flashback. He's seen that city before, but it was 40 years ago. See, 40 years ago, he and Caleb and 10 other spies went into the promised land. And they walked in. And they saw all the beautiful and houses that they never built, vineyards they never planted, hunting stands that they never put together, restaurants they never built, malls that they'd never had to pay for anything in. I had to get everybody. Eric, Walmarts everywhere. Yeah, hallelujah. All right. And as they stand there, they come back into the camp, and for 40 days, you know what they do? They run off at the mouth. I mean, they're realists. They start negative talk. And Caleb and Joshua are standing there, we can do this. And for 40 days, those 10 dumb spies, all they did was tell the negative report. Tell about how small they were, how big the enemy was, how little they had, how difficult it would be, how much they would lose. You know, we've done this, we've lost before, we're going to lose again. And Caleb and Joshua watched for 40 days as the people of Israel, the camp, just lost all their faith and hope. Because 10 dudes didn't know how to control their mouth. And the Bible called their report wicked. I mean, they didn't swear. I don't think they told any dirty jokes. But God said a murmuring bad report is wickedness in his ears. I need somebody to hear. I'm preaching a whole lot better than maybe it feels like right now, but I'm going to get somewhere in just a second. If you don't watch your mouth, because out of your mouth can come life and out of your mouth can come death. And into the ears of those people that are around you, they're getting from you life or they're getting from you death. And Joshua said, I have survived 40 years of pain, unnecessary setback, because 10 people didn't know how to shut their mouths. All they knew to do was complain and repeat the bad news that was gossip and wasn't accurate in the first place. And I refuse to let my generation suffer what a previous generation suffered because they didn't know how to control their tongue. So Joshua says, look, we're going to march around Jericho and you're going to be tempted to talk. Shut your mouth. I love this story. I think Joshua would have been a great pastor. He'd have brought you in his office. He says, now I want you to stop talking until you leave. And we're going to feel good about our meeting. That's my kind of counseling. You just be quiet. I'm going to tell you what the word says, and I'll see you later. He said, I want you to march around that wall 6 days because you're going to be tempted to whine. You're going to be tempted to murmur. You're going to be tempted to repeat the bad report. But on the seventh day, he says, the sixth, I want you, shh. There's a victory in progress. Shh. God's up to something good. Shh. The enemy's starting to get nervous. They'd walk around. The people in Jericho would be looking out. What is going on? Shh. Don't ruin a good thing. I feel like telling somebody right now, God's about to do something great. But if you'll just shh, there's a victory in progress. Turn to your neighbor and go shh. I'm just telling you, you literally, look at me, you are literally on the verge of God doing something great, but you can talk yourself out of it in one night. God has been working on something for days and weeks and months and years, and in one afternoon, you can totally talk yourself out of a great miracle that God has for you. God says, shh, shutteth thy mouth. But on the seventh day, come on now. But on the seventh day, God has anointed you to say something on the seventh day. Now you can talk too much and talk yourself out of a victory. But when it's time to speak, but when it's time to prophesy, when it's time to interpret, when it's time to speak in tongues, when you'll rise up and stand, guess what? God will put power in your words and every wall of Jericho will have to fall flat. I'm tired of watching Christians build walls of Jericho around their own life. And that's contagious. The contagion of one talking themselves into a corner and another talk. I can tell who some of you have been hanging around by the way you talk when you get away from them. I tell you, you need to rise up and say, I'm going to be quiet until I get a moment. But when my moment comes, I'm going to stand up and declare, Jesus Christ is Lord. I know my Redeemer lives and I will stand with Him again on that day. Shh. There's a victory in progress. You know what, when the woman who she couldn't have a child, but the prophet said she'd have a child, she had that little boy, and the little boy died. And when she started coming back, the prophet saw the dust off of her pinto coming up off the ground. You have no idea what that is. And Elisha says to his servant, hey, that's the widow's pinto, go see her. And the servant goes out and he meets the widow. He says, her son has died. And he says, how are you doing? I'm doing well. I don't know about you, but I'd have something else to say. But she said, I'm doing well. Oh, really? So he walks with a look, because pintos don't go very fast. And he keeps walking. And he keeps asking, well, how's your son? Oh, everything's well. Shh. There's a miracle in progress. Don't live stream yet. Keep your video off now. Shh. But when the time comes and the anointing strikes and God says He wants you to speak, the Bible says that widow woman went to the prophet and said, my son that you prophesied is dead. He came to the room. He shut the door. He didn't want to hear anybody's negative voice. He laid down on that boy's body and breathed life into him. And that boy came back up. Shh. But when it's time to speak, That woman had a little boy that was dead, and they were carrying his body down through the street. But Jesus, when he went to the house of that woman, and they shut the door, he said, get all the mourners out of here. Get all the naysayers out of here. Get all the realists out of here. Get all the reporters out of here. I don't want to hear. Not even Jesus had a stomach for whiners and murmurers and complainers. He said, get them out of the room. Give me Peter, James, and John. Get me some boys who know how to pray, who know how to confess, who know how to declare. And he went over and declared that boy come back to life, and he came back to life. Why? That's the power of prophecy, tongues, and interpret. That's the vocal gift power. I'm not saying you be weird, you know, and if it's raining, say, oh no, it's sunny out. I'm not saying if the doctor says you got diabetes, you just never say, I have diabetes. But you don't say it in such a way that you have to have it. You say it in such a way, the doctor says, I have diabetes, but Jesus has already taken those diabetes on his back, and by his stripes I am healed. I know it's kind of tight because now you're responsible. Now you, I'm just saying, some of you are ill, some of you are struggling, some of you are hurting, and you don't know why you can't get free. I'm going to tell you, stop whining about it and start praising God, because if God could do it for one, he can do it for anybody. But guard your tongue. Guard your words. Guard your life. Because maybe there's something that God wants to use you to say to somebody. Because that's, Joshua didn't say that for himself. It wasn't like he just liked a really quiet day. Joshua was saying that because he knew in order for the people to have their victory, they're going to have to learn to control their tongue. How many of you want God to just put words of life in your tongue so that people can be changed for the glory of God? Come on, musicians. This morning, I was stirred, and I'm still stirred. It started over the weekend. This discerning of spirits and looking at people and seeing what they need. I need somebody to hear what I'm telling you. The devil will get you to live an unclean, unholy life so that you can't designate and realize the pain that other people are feeling. We've got to establish again this ability to know the powers that are trying to destroy the people that we love. But when we see them, we've got to say something to them. I'm very, very concerned and burdened. And I think this is the church's finest hour. But there are people in our community that are hurting. There are people in our community that are hopeless, literally hopeless. And we can sense that there's a spiritual attack on their life, but I'm just going to tell you, sensing it's not enough. Somebody's got to stand up and say something. Y'all out there? I talked to a lady this afternoon, after church today, that knew that firefighter whose life ended Friday. And there are those of you that have loved ones here that you've known that their lives have come to an end, and you feel that, and that's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm just trying to tell somebody here today that there are people, you know, you see somebody and you're burdened about their marriage, and then 2 months later they're divorced. You say, oh, I wish I'd have said something. Why didn't you say anything? You see somebody that just begins to get infrequent in church, and they're not doing what they should do, and then eventually you find out they've just totally abandoned the faith, and you say, I wish I'd have said something. How many of you have ever seen somebody and you saw them just drive right off the end of crazy road and just totally go the wrong direction, and you saw it coming, but you didn't say anything, and you wished you had? That's my concern tonight. And if we're not careful, it is the word, it's the gift of prophecy, tongue, it's the vocal gifts, it's the interpretation that gives us that permission to get in the lives of other people and say, the Holy Ghost is talking to me. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been to the place where I've had people walk up to me and say, the Holy Ghost is talking to me. And I was so, how many of you have ever been there before? Somebody ministered to you in the Spirit and it helped you. And ladies and gentlemen, please, 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 please. There are people that you will come into contact with all week long. Their lives, are being, they're getting punched by sin, hell, giving it everything they've got. I'm telling you, you've got the spiritual authority to stop that, but you've got to say something. If you see somebody hurting, say something. If you see somebody at school that's struggling, say something. If you see somebody in church, or you don't see somebody in church, say something. Because the enemy's trying to shut the mouth of the church and close us off from prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. How many make a commitment with me tonight? If I see something, I commit tonight. I'm going to say something. Come on, how many are committed to that tonight? Everybody that's committed to that, would you stand together with me? Everybody that's committed to that, would you stand together with me? Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something real specific tonight. I've kind of meandered a little bit, and I think you get the point. I guess that's the most important part. I want you to pray right now, God, put somebody in my heart right now. As I said, this is not about you. These gifts are for somebody else. This is going to be one of those services. I pray that God puts a heavy burden on your heart that'll change your week, change your priorities, change your vision, change your words. I want you to pray right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to put some people on your heart, if you would. Holy Spirit, there is a connection here between those that are in this place tonight and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And God, there's no more time for us to say, oh, I wish I'd have said something. God, I pray that you'll help us to get to the place where we start saying something. The power of the gifts of the Spirit flow through our words, through our prophecy, tongues, diverse tongues, and interpretation. Not just interpretation of tongues, but interpretation of dreams, interpretation of the times, interpretation of events, interpretation of Scripture. Lord, let us have the, as the Scripture says, the tongue of the ready writer. Our words can either build up or tear down. Oh God, set a gate at our tongues. Let our words not be murmuring or wicked, but Lord, let our words be anointed and accurate. Oh Lord, help us. Give us the courage that if we see something, we're going to say something. If we sense something, we're going to say something. God, there are words of knowledge and wisdom, discerning, all over this place. But God, it's not just for us to have, it's for people to be blessed. Lord, help us to see something and help us to say something. Oh God, let love fill our hearts tonight. Forgive us for being so consumed in our own world. Oh God, help us to be concerned about other people's world. When we get concerned with somebody else's world, we already know you're going to take care of ours. In Jesus' name. Every person that says, I want the Holy Spirit, one, to govern my words. Two, to help me to become more sensitive so that I can see the needs. I don't know. I don't know if the burden that's in my heart is the same burden you feel yet. I believe you will. But how many understand we're surrounded with hurting people? No. How many of you just, by give me evidence, how many of you know we are surrounded by hurting people? We're surrounded with them. And we're so, it's so easy to get so consumed in our own challenge. And I'm not denying you don't have one, but I'm just saying if you'll get your eyes on somebody else's, God will take care of yours. You don't have any idea the people that volunteer here on a weekly basis. They're going through tremendous struggles in life. But when they volunteer, you'd never know it. And eventually God begins to change their world because they're reaching out for somebody else's. I promise you tonight, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Some of you have already been through enough. When you've gone through it, you see someone else going through it, as soon as you see it, say something. I've been where you've been. I know what you're going through. I think about some of the different people. You've been through some awful times. You know what? You're keeping it to yourself. It's time to say something. Are you getting the point here tonight? Every person that says, I want a burden for hurting people so that I can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Quickly come. Stand around this altar. It's a consecration night. Would you come? Would you come? I've got something I want to give you tonight that I want you to utilize. But would you come and come up close? Oh God, help me to see something and help me to say something.